Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on a busy Wednesday. It's a little wet outside, a little slippery here in New York City.
Schools were canceled this morning.
Was it really?
Yeah, everywhere.
Not for Colton.
It got, well, maybe closer. It actually wasn't as bad. When I drove in this morning, getting through Florham Park where I am and through Chatham and ultimately on the 78.
It's about 40 miles north of the city for people
for
who
about 25 miles, it was bad.
Wow. It was more like a sleety, slushy ice.
Yeah. It was easy to drive through, but it was pretty bad.
We're getting soft. They're canceling school for that. Suck it up.
But as I got closer to the city, it actually was just rain.
Yeah, it's usually the case you get closer to the city.
But we got canceled.
Soft suburb people.
And Tegan and her, whatever it is, and you can't even call it preschool.
It's not even preschool.
It's like, just go hang out for an hour.
It's the school that you go to because all the other parents send their kids to the school.
Yes.
And you have to keep up and you basically have to go.
Yeah. That's what school it is, two days a week, by the way, for an hour and a half. They canceled it last night. I'm like, well, you can't.
Oh, jeez. Really? The night before?
I'm like, come on.
In anticipation of the sleet.
BT, explain this to me. I like Russell Wilson. I like him as a player.
Yeah.
I like Russell Wilson as a player. Yeah. But why? Because he's
a little different. I don't really feel like I know Russell Wilson.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Right?
You don't know him.
A little enigmatic. Not in a bad way, just in a distant way.
Explain to me why Russell Wilson wants to be a New York Yankee, and because he desires, this is a football player now, he desires to be a New York Yankee.
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers and Brian Cashman of the New York Yankees spent several weeks, this is a quote, several weeks working out a deal for Russell Wilson to come join the Yankees and put on his cleats and go to spring training. I don't get this.
Well, I didn't really want to get into this today, but I hate to break. I mean, this is. Brace yourself.
Okay.
He just wants to be a Jet.
I thought you were going to be serious for a second.
I don't know. I saw this, and I saw the tweet about 2 hours ago from the Yankees, and I quote tweeted it. And I said, good, now we have the best football player as well. And that's taking a shot at Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
The Mets have Tim Tebow. Yeah. We have Russell Wilson.
But I'm just,
we've got the best baseball team, and now we've got the best football player on the roster as well. I don't know.
I'm reading this, and they're saying this is absurd, and they're right. Because this is the quote. He has long expressed a desire to play for the Yankees.
And so did I.
Me too. You know what? Let me put on Yankee hat.
Yeah.
All right? And go to camp and run around on the field.
My dad used to go to those fantasy camps, by the way.
I know. One of my good buddies does that.
Like, year after 40, post-40 years of age, you get the whole uniform and everything.
Pitches. He blew out his arm. Oh, no, he hurt his calf.
Oh, everybody gets hurt at those things.
The Rangers general manager, John Daniels, and his New York counterpart, Brian Cashman, have spent several weeks working to accommodate his wishes. We're not even talking about a baseball player.
It's a strange thing. What exactly did the Yankees give up? I couldn't find it. I mean, it's
future considerations.
Future considerations, which could be spun monetarily.
Yeah.
It could be a compensatory thing on a lower level. Mike, you have any other stuff? I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, he has this long.
I mean, he played baseball. I mean, I've seen footage of him turning double plays. He's a ball player.
So he put out a statement too. I want to personally thank the Texas Rangers for giving me the chance to experience professional baseball again. And he keeps going on. While football is my passion and my livelihood, baseball remains a huge part of where I come from, and I always wanted to be a New York Yankee. While I embrace the chance to be a New York Yankees, I will forever be grateful to the class organization like the Texas Rangers.
It seems like it's more of a symbolic thing. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any real pursuit
since
here.
When do we
he could retire a Yankee in his own warped mind.
But why? Why? I just don't get that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Right. Listen,
it makes no sense.
Unless it makes sense to him.
But why does Brian Cashman give two you-know-whats
about Russell Wilson? From Cashman's point of view, that makes no sense. I could see why Yeah, I don't have an intelligent answer for you.
The dude plays football, and he plays football damn well. Why are we making accommodations, or the Yankees making accommodations to trade him?
I honestly don't know.
It's just
weird, wish I had something witty for you. I don't.
It's just weird.
I mean, it's beyond weird. It seems like a reach. I mean, and here's the thing. From the Yankees' point of view, if the Yankees were, and I'm not taking a shot at the Mets, even though, you know, I guess I like what the Mets did with Todd Frazier. He's going to help them out a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll get into more of the contracts coming up next segment, because there might be a baseball strike. And Todd Frazier's a little bit of piece of the equation here. But if the Yankees were like the Mets, or the Yankees were languishing in a place of irrelevancy right now, and they just, you know, after the 2009 championship, and A-Rod's gone, and Jeter's gone, and Girardi's gone, and they don't have, you know, they don't have Stanton and Judge and all these mammoth, behemoth, you know, home run mashers, and they're going to score 9 runs a game, which they will, and they just need to make a headline here, and George Steinbrenner was still alive to further suspend reality, I can see them doing this, because it would get them the back page in New York City. At least for a day. There's no logical baseball, unless the Yankees actually view, I mean, Russell Wilson as a viable prospect.
But he's not.
How do you know?
I mean.
How do you know that?
He's been playing football for 5-6 years
I understand.
I mean, look, if the Marlins did this, if the Cincinnati Reds did this, I'd get it. We need some enthusiasm around spring training. So let's bring in Russell Wilson, who's revered as a football player. But the fact that they're making accommodations to facilitate this trade for Russell Wilson, because he's always desired to be a Yankee. I mean, what's next? You're going to have, I don't know, like Jesse Palmer, who grew up in Canada, who wanted to play for the what's a Canadian hockey team? He wanted to be a Maple Leaf.
Canadians,
so Jesse Palmer, who played, you know, was the Bachelor.
Flames.
And now he's going to get an honorary contract for the. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, I don't know if this is a real good indication, but I've always
Baseball Cube?
Yeah, I am.
Well,
of course I'm on Baseball Cube. Sometimes you got to get nerdy. As you know, I've said that.
I knew you were on Baseball Cube.
Well, I had to get some stats. I wanted to see. Now. So we would go, I told you, we'd go down to North Carolina every year.
Yep.
And that would be, when you play baseball in the Northeast in college, the only way to play games in March is to take a trip down south.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
You're right.
So we'd go down, we'd play NC State, we'd play the Carolina Tar Heels. We'd lose every game. It's a running joke. We never beat them, but we'd play them. And half the kids would get drafted. So I am somewhat familiar with, I've been on a field with NC State, which is where he played.
Yes.
And you could tell right away that they were just miles upon miles better than all of us.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson at NC State hit 296. This is with a metal bat, keep in mind. This is why I'm checking out his stats. 236.
It should be better than that.
Significantly.
Okay. 230, just making sure.
If you're going to play for the Yankees. 236 as a sophomore with a metal bat. And then 306 as a junior. And he hasn't really played much since. No. So there's no rational. If he would have hit like 340 or, you know, lit up the ACC, and I'm like, all right, maybe he can get back. And
look,
it's not a fast twitch. Well, it is a fast twitch skill, but it's different than.
But,
I don't know. I mean, there's no plausible baseball evidence.
The fact that you're even thinking of plausible baseball evidence is baffling.
But
to
I just try to dot my I's, because I have no other reason to think why would the Yankees do this?
Because the only other reason would be
monetarily.
Like what I just said with the Reds or the Marlins.
But that's monetarily.
Yes, monetarily.
Because you put people in the seats, 5,000 extra people.
Hey, come on in. The Yankees don't need that.
They don't need that.
And they don't need someone like Russell Wilson in their locker room saying, this is how you become a winner. You know, in football, the Seattle Seahawks, we do this and that and the other thing. Rah, rah, rah.
Go get
them. They don't need that.
And by the way, I don't begrudge certain teams that they have to do that.
I don't either.
Sometimes you've got to an unorthodox business model, which seems corny and contrive to big markets that sell themselves. Sometimes to have sustainability, you got to do something a little quirky just to get from point A to point B.
Agreed.
Yankees don't have to do that.
No.
It's odd. The Mets don't even have to do that, but they are with Depot.
Yeah, but Depot's actually playing baseball.
That's true. Maybe Wilson's going to play.
No chance.
You never know. Stash is in Pennsylvania. It's a cool name, Stash. Stash is on TV.
How you doing, guys?
What up, Stash?
What's up?
The ultimate athletic prowess is Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson.
Yes, but those guys, Dash, were actually very good baseball players. What BT
he
was just detailing.
To prove that point.
What's that?
That's the idea. He wants to prove that he's on the equal of them.
No, I bet he doesn't
Stash,
I bet he doesn't even take an at bat
in the spring. I would probably take that bet.
I bet he doesn't take an at bat.
Like extended split squad. I think he's going to get an at bat at some point.
I bet he does not at all.
All right, we got a little bet here, a little gentleman bet. I could see him getting some at bats there, Stash. Now, what he does, I don't know. I also say, you know, as much as we want to make fun of this, and it does seem ludicrous, I wouldn't put anything by him because he's a quick twitch guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's a quick twitch guy.
No, without a doubt.
He's got a rocket. You see him roll out of the pocket and throw off one foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the analogy about 5 years ago that I said with you. I said it's kind of like Jeter across the diamond, how he makes off a broken play. Now, can he hit? I don't know. Yeah. And when you hit 236 with a metal bat, I don't think you're going to hit 290 with a wooden bat when you haven't played in 5 years.
What year was that?
Like 2009.
Yeah, exactly.
But you never know. I mean, Tim Tebow's hitting home runs.
Yes, but Tim, you're right. But Tim Tebow.
He played since high school, Tim Tebow.
Yes, I know. But he dedicated his life to trying to be a minor league and ultimately, I guess, try to be a major league. But whatever. He's not going to make it to the major. He dedicated his athletic existence because he still has a regular job doing analysis work for college football. But he dedicated his athletic life to being a baseball player, not a football player. BT, you know this. You can't lift weights like you need to lift weights to be a football player and then go play baseball. It's just a different skill set.
No, I want some answers too. I'm equally confounded. I'm trying to think through this. There's nothing logical.
No, nothing.
There's really not, unless he just really thinks, hey, you know, maybe he doesn't want to risk concussions. I'm serious. Maybe. I mean,
breaking news. You heard it here on Tiki and Tierney. Russell Wilson's retiring from the NFL. To pursue a Yankees
But don't
career.
You have to put it all on the table? If it seems nonsensical, maybe the only way to make sense of it is to bring everything into the equation. And he did go in the blue tent for a second this year.
True.
Even though it was more of a chin shot than a head. You know, but I don't know. Maybe he strongly intimated to John Daniels, I want to play baseball. And maybe
John
he said,
was like, we don't want you to play for us.
Well, no, maybe Russell said, I really want to play for the Yankees. Can he make something happen?
I'm
trying to think if I'm Brian Cashman and Russell Wilson.
I just don't see the value. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't see the value.
But does it devalue the brand?
No, not at all.
So then it actually does value it. Because it's never going to be lateral.
It just seems
either enhances or devalues the brand.
Well, I
think it probably enhances in a strange way.
How?
He's Russell Wilson.
Okay, but he's Russell Wilson spent his career in Seattle.
But think about this. Think about the conversations
no
that we have
Yankees.
About how baseball is trying to grab a piece of the football puzzle. Now Russell Wilson, Super Bowl winning quarterback, saying, I want to play for the Yankees. Mm. That's pretty much cool for baseball, even if it seems unfathomably wacky to us.
Very tough word to say. You did it pretty
That's
excellent.
Why I kind of paused and that little theatrical pause, make sure it came out right.
You slowed it down.
You see how you did
it? It's
called a veteran move right
that
there.
That was a good vet
That's
move.
A veteran move. I appreciate that, T. Glad you noticed that.
Definitely did.
Thank you, buddy. CBS Sport Radio toll-free numbers 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Hey, listen, if you have better theories than what we just threw around, which was 6 minutes of nothing, by all means, get us. 855-212. We're as lost as you are. 212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes later, save 15% or more on car insurance. Really, why would he want to go and play for the... That is... Wow. All right, Teague. Also, are we headed towards a Major League Baseball strike?
Yeah. You talk about guys that want to play baseball that aren't getting a chance to because they don't have contracts.
Look at you dropping teases.
Damn.
Who's this guy think he is?
I had to tease fill in master. For you for 2 days.
The tease master. The tease Jedi. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. That's next. Okay, baseball's got a big issue here, and it's really you can't just throw this in the corner of the room anymore and hope it's going to go away. It's almost Valentine's Day, and that means pitchers and catchers start long tossing and start doing pulls and start doing a little PFP. When pitchers fielding practice, get loose, get the labrum all set, play a little baseball here. And there's a lot of big names that just don't know where they're going to play next year.
You're right.
Or this year, I should
JD
say.
JD Martinez.
Yep.
Yu Darvish, who's got a report in a week. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know where he's reporting to.
Hosmer for the Royals, Moose as well.
Arrieta, same thing.
Yeah.
Previously with the Cubs. Hosmer's the one that surprises me the most, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, because he's young.
Exactly. And he's 28
years old. Hosmer's 28. I mean, listen, here's the problem. In a nutshell, because I don't know that we should assume that everybody knows exactly what's going on here. To summarize it, to boil it down in 10 seconds, Major League Baseball, there's a thought that there's a breach of trust right now, that certain teams are trying to, in essence, quote-unquote, race to the bottom,
yeah,
not trying to compete, and by colluding and not offering contracts to a lot of these players because there are an overwhelming percentage of high-level, higher-level free agents that are still available compared to other years at this point in time.
Yep.
So that's the point of disconnect right now. And the problem is, I got to tell you, Teak, while I think it's certainly, if you look at the evidence, and I could see why people would side with the players on this. Oh my God, what's going on here? These good players. Moose hits 30 home runs, and Hosmer's a champion, and he could pick it at first base, and he's still only 28 years old, and you know this guy hit 35 home runs, and this guy won the Cy Young. The difference is that, and player and fans need to understand this, and the players better start signing contracts because I don't think they're going to win this. There is a recalibration of business right now.
Yeah.
And the problem with a guy like Robinson Cano a couple of years ago, when he got a 10-year deal from the Seattle Mariners, teams are tired of paying 25%-ish for past performance to entice you to play for me. And basically on the back end of that deal, so maybe the eighth, ninth, or halfway through the eighth year, the ninth and the tenth year, paying for nothing because mm-hmm. you're basically shot yep. due to attrition. There's enough of this. We're not giving you those contracts anymore. Yep. So you need to understand we have hit the reset button in the marketplace. A guy like Todd Frazier hit 220-something last year. Yeah. He just got $17 million. That's pretty good in my book.
Yeah.
So that counter, that disproves the claim that there's collusion going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. I want players to get paid as much as they can. The game's in a good spot.
Look,
I'm
a former athlete, and I want to be on the side of players. As has always been said, you don't mess with another guy's money, right? Because the owners are billionaires. They have all the resources, all the leverage, because they actually own the team, and they make the decisions on who gets paid and who doesn't. But at the end of the day, it's the players who are putting in the work. Without great players, you're not going to have great teams, and these owners aren't going to make money in this business. Now, a lot of them have other businesses, so it doesn't really matter, but they're not going to make money in this business unless they have great players. So the players do deserve. But BT, you're right. Especially when I think about football, the athletes that play football, they get paid, quarterbacks notwithstanding, they get paid on what they believe, at least what the team believes, is their window of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we're going to give whoever you are. Let's use Le'Veon Bell right now. Le'Veon Bell's 27 years old, almost 28 years old. And we're going to give Le'Veon, we think he's going to be great until he's 30, right? So we're going to give Le'Veon Bell this deal that's, you know, heavily favored in his first couple of years, basically guarantee his first 2 years of his contract because of the money that he's given. And the last four, or whatever it is, if you do 5 or 6 years, let's say it's a 5 years, so the last three are just going to be, it's funny money. So it can look great, but we're only going to guarantee the first couple of years because that's what we actually believe that he can play.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, I think what you're saying is exactly right. General managers are starting to look at it like they do football players. All right, you're an all-star last year. I think you're going to be an all-star for the next 3, maybe 4 years. And that's what we want to pay you on. We don't want to pay you until, you know, 5 or 6, 7 years from now when you're no longer producing and we're stuck with a bad contract and have to figure out some way to trade you somewhere else for a team that's desperate maybe for a name or some veteran leadership in the clubhouse. Right? That's hard business mm-hmm. doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to pay for exactly what they think they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So with Todd Frazier, who is the perfect example you just brought up, you know, Todd's probably, you know, way on the down. He's not walking. He's not at the bottom of the hill, but he's walking down it.
He's past his apex for sure. Still good value. Could pick it at third base. Got some pop.
And great
clubhouse guy.
Character.
Yep.
Great clubhouse guy.
Yep.
And we need that for 2 years.
Also going to hit 225 and strike out a ton.
But we're the Mets, and we're trying to figure us the heck out.
Mm-hmm.
We need you for 2 years, Todd.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So here's a 2-year deal.
Yep.
That's what we need you for. J.D.
Yep.
Martinez probably is 4 years, but he wants to break the bank and get 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not going to happen.
He's out of his mind.
I mean, that's
ludicrous.
Yeah, and so it's hard for, I think, the agents to communicate this to these players now because they've been telling these guys for as long as they can remember, just hold on. Just, hey, they're going to give it to you. Don't worry. Just you know, the longer you wait, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the league, that is, slash the teams are saying is, keep waiting. We're not cracking.
Mm-hmm.
We got young kids. We got maybe someone who's not as good as you, but you know what? We got somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be okay.
Yeah.
But we're not overpaying you.
No, it's a real problem, Teak. When you go and you look at somebody, I referenced Robinson Cano before, right? Robinson Cano, I mean, you know.
I remember that deal.
Oh, that was crazy. I was really surprised the Yankees let him walk. But in hindsight, you know, it was the first time the Yankees started to do business in a more
financial prudence.
Yeah, perfectly stated. Financially prudent way of doing business. And, you know, they thought about tomorrow really for the first time and the residue that a contract like that would sprinkle on the franchise and the luxury tax threshold. And there were other things they were calculating for sure. You look at what Robinson Cano last year, by the way, while he had a pretty good year, he was under an OPS of 800.
Yeah.
Under 800. So it was 790 something, right? Now you look at, he's got this season, 2019, 2020, 21, 22, and 20. He's got six more seasons guaranteed of $24 million no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what. And don't think for a second.
How old is he in that last year?
Well, when he left the Yankees, he was 30 years old, was last season with the Yankees. So he signed with Seattle, he was 31.
So he's going to be 37.
He's going to be 40 in his last contract.
Yeah, wow.
So the point is that, you know, when I say that you're paying 25%-ish of what you already did and 25% of what you will never do, you're basically trying to entice somebody to sign with you. You're begging somebody with the knowledge that, all right, because you're a Yankee, I'm going to have to overpay, and let's just to get you to Seattle, here's, you know, and it's a terrible way of doing business. Now, Cano's not the only example. Verlander, who's been revitalized with the Astros when they figured out the spin rate and the curveball and all that stuff. But, I mean, Verlander was a problem for the Tigers for a couple of years, as have other players been. You know, I just think that baseball players are at a place now where, and decision makers more importantly, they have infiltrated the front offices fully.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's not just like a young guy here and a young guy there and a young guy here. There's young people and young minds everywhere spread out. It is a complete and thorough recalibration. There are different metrics. There are different value points. And you better start telling your clients, stay in shape. Here's your contract. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not playing baseball this season.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think the league's going to crack.
Now, you mentioned former players getting deeper into organizations. Do you think they're the catalyst behind this? You know what I mean? So an owner or a general manager who wasn't a player, but it comes up to a player who's an executive of some sort in the front office of a baseball team and says, hey, I've seen this story 20 times in my career. Yeah, he looks great now, but in 5 years, he's going to be a shell of himself, and you're going to be looking to dump that contract somewhere.
You know, it's a good question. I don't think necessarily that that's it. I would frame it more specifically this way, that the value of veteran leadership, which we always try to but can never fully quantify, is now dissipating very quickly because there are very few gut managers that now exist in baseball. Plus, he's an astute guy, and he's young, and he's savvy, and all that stuff. But one of the reasons Aaron Boone was hired by the Yankees is that he's a metrics guy. And a lot of these organizations, the manager, like the days of Lasorda, these old names, these legends, Billy Martin, Earl Weaver, even Joe Torre, gut guys.
Yeah.
I just have a gut. I've watched. Yeah. I know my guy, and I don't give a damn what the numbers spit back at. He's hitting 118.
Yeah.
I got a feeling my guy's going yard against this guy tonight.
Or he's giving up a couple hits in the seventh inning. I just went out there and talked to him. He's got it.
I believe him.
I could see it in his eyes.
Correct. Exactly. So those managers are no longer around.
Yeah.
You got a few, maybe Bruce Bochy. You got a couple. So because it is all numbers related, the value of veteran leadership it almost doesn't matter because you're going to play the numbers anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
So the veteran who would usually get maybe 18 to 20% more tacked on to play and to lead, that's gone.
Yeah.
Hence, the longer deals are gone,
yeah.
or at least they're going.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time.
It's smart for baseball. It's more money for the owners and less for the players, which is why the union has an issue with it. But I get it. I absolutely get it from a team standpoint.
No
doubt.
All right, we're on the same page. We have the blast coming up next here, Teak. Let's get Axe update. Here's Rich. All right, T, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Wags at JWags718. You really think Ed Reed should be your first ballot Hall of Famer when John Lynch has been on the ballot for, what, 4 years now?
Good question, Wags.
Is it really, though?
It's not. Here's the reality. Ed Reed was in the conversation a lot of years being MVP, defensive MVP of the National Football League. He would intercept the rock and go score. John Lynch was known as a hitter.
Yep.
But he wasn't in that same conversation year in and year out that Ed Reed was every single year he was playing the game.
Ed Reed was like a 12th offensive player for you almost. He was just, oh, my God, he was so good. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We'll get to the blast here in a couple of minutes. I know Danny's in Ohio. Want to chime in on the LeBron conversation from earlier. And Danny jumps in on Tiki and Tierney. Danny, how are you today?
Fine.
Okay, Dan, what's up?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think about LeBron James. He needs to be surrounded by a younger crew. You join the pros to win championships.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he's surrounded by players that play both defense and offense at the same time. I mean, they were at one time, but they're older, and he's exceptional. They are not. They're just all older. But I think it's time for him. I hate to hear people say that he's a traitor, he's a quitter, but you play the sports to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny, let me throw this at you. Nobody's going to doubt, you know, certainly you want to win and you want to get paid, of course, and you as much as self-glory and team glory as you can attain as a professional. But, you know, while his roster's not very good, he's the one, Daniel, who was basically telling management, pay Tristan Thompson,
mm-hmm.
you know, pay this guy, pay J.R. Smith, get Shump back. It's everything that he wanted.
They gave him everything he thought he needed, but it's not proven out, and he needs to let the organization go forward with their decisions. He shouldn't control everything because he's a great player, but his years are running out.
All right.
Yeah. No, you're right, Daniel. And I think you've heard a lot of these reports coming out of Cleveland that there's a disconnect, and that's part of it. He'd like to be maybe not fully in control, even though I think he relishes control. He liked to at least be in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since David Griffin left or was not extended his contract, who we'll have on Monday, by the way, he hasn't been in the loop. And it's a different dynamic in Cleveland for LeBron. And you're starting to see some of the effects of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully buy that story about him not being in the loop, though. I just find that really hard to believe.
But what has he done
on some level?
But what has he done this year that says, oh, that's got LeBron's fingerprints all over it?
Well, nothing, because the team hasn't done anything this year. Outside of the Kyrie Irving move, which, granted, is a big one.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't
to my recollection. No, I know, but I mean, to my recollection, nothing's happened since where we can either say LeBron knew about this or, wow, look at the move that the Cavs made that maybe he didn't know about. They've just done nothing. They waited for Isaiah Thomas to get healthy, which I think was the prudent thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel like he's trying to distance himself. When things are good, he's okay with everybody knowing who's got the juice card.
I'm all on board with that.
You know,
I agree.
Things
with
get
you.
A little slippery. Hey, it ain't
not
me,
my
man.
Fault.
I didn't do.
Not
I,
my
I
fault.
I got no say anymore.
I didn't know. They don't talk to me anymore.
Hey, I'm out of the loop. Not my fault.
So is he putting out these stories?
I kind of surmise he is. He's that much of a control freak.
He is.
But we'll ask Griffin. We have him on Monday, as you said. All right, ready to blast away here, Teak?
Let's
go. All right, here we go. Okay, Teak, number one, Jeff Fisher. Three failed Rams quarterbacks. You got Keenum, you got Foles, you got Goff. Which is the biggest indictment of his coaching?
That's a good question. I think the biggest one is Goff. Only because, they were bad out in Los Angeles that first year that he was there. And you had Jared Goff on your roster. Their defense was actually pretty good. Jared Goff was on your roster. You didn't play him.
Yeah.
Not even that. You didn't dress him.
Yeah.
It was just a bad look.
Yeah.
Foles went through whatever he went through, and then Keenum, I mean, he was Case Keenum.
It looked like you wouldn't even put training wheels on him is really how it looked. Like, you kept the bike in the garage with training wheels, and you basically made the kid stare at it on his fifth birthday and said, now, you know what? We're not even going to let you have a pogo stick, let alone the bicycle. Yeah. I mean, it's just so utterly irresponsible not to dress him. It just seemed archaic, like so outdated. He that makes him look, because the other ones are slightly above average talents that maybe that have had little renaissances here and good situations. Goff looks like he's good.
And Foles and Keenum, as good as they were this year, were not top two picks.
Bingo. This is interesting. So the Clippers, they agree to a 3-year deal with Lou Williams. A lot of people thought that with the Blake Griffin deal, he might be next. Is he an all-star caliber player? Listen, I like Lou Williams a lot because he could fill it up, but he's not. The problem is he's not really efficient. He's having a great year this year, don't get me wrong. But for his career, 42% overall, 35% from behind the arc, which is not a really good number. He's not a 3-and-D guy, obviously. He's smaller. He's kind of a tweener. He could be really good on a really good team, but to extend him as you strip down, that's a bit of a head-scratcher for me.
Well, I think as they're stripping down, they need some continuity, you would think. And so, is it a great deal? No, and he's probably not an all-star caliber player, at least not year over year. He just missed out. He was one of the snubs from this year, a lot of people thought. But, I mean, I think it's actually a good signing. They need some continuity as they get rid of all of the previous assets. And he's played really well this year, so he's earned at least consideration to be there in the future as they try to build whatever's next.
Mm. But then where do you go with him? Like, is he the second-best player
moving
forward?
Well, it's only a three-year deal.
Yeah, 3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
3 years is a long time when you're 31.
True.
When you're 25, all right, I can push it to 28.
I mean, but they didn't break the bank here.
No, that's true. They didn't break the bank. How about this, Teague? Draymond would break something if he was allowed. Draymond Green ejected again. Warriors lead the NBA in ejections. Do they have an attitude issue?
I don't think they have an attitude issue. I think they're just they feel like they're not getting a fair shake. Now, I don't know if you saw – did you see any of this game?
I saw the highlights.
So some of the highlights. There was a foul on Russell Westbrook, and he was, as Russell Westbrook likes to do, he speeds up and drives into the lane, and he trips.
Mm-hmm.
His foot just slips out from under him, and he trips. And KD is there, but he's like backing away from it. He got called for a tripping foul.
Hey, listen,
and it was one of the female refs, Lauren Holcamp.
Yep,
and Draymond later went after her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he got.
I don't think he went after her too bad either.
Not at all.
I think he was pointing to his mouth at one point. Yeah. Here's the thing. Do they have an attitude problem? I don't think they have an attitude problem. I think they have a bit of a softness issue. I think they're so that's a good example that I would actually side with the Warriors on. But a lot of the technical fouls that I see them get are they are overreacting, or they are acting or reacting to the refs allowing opponents to man them up and push them around a little bit here. In terms of skill set, nobody can hang with the Warriors. But if you muscle them and they can be muscled, it becomes a different playing
and
field.
And the refs let them do it?
And sometimes they're letting them do that more this year than they've ever let them do. All right, National Signing Day. Texas gets a top three recruiting class. Pardon me. Who's better long-term, Herman or Lincoln Riley from Nebraska?
Oh, man, this was tough. I'm going to say Lincoln Riley at OU.
Yeah?
Herman's going to get all the recruits.
Mm-hmm.
But Lincoln Riley has been – there's his connection to OU that you see. Now, the question will be –
Herman used to be a Texas back in the day.
But can he recruit – can Lincoln Riley recruit a successor for Baker? And if he does, and he gets that same kind of player, then OU is going to be right where they are always have been in the Big 12.
There's only one Baker Mayfield. There's a lot of guys who can pass. There's not many guys that can play and love Oklahoma like he loves. So there's only one Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying Oklahoma can't keep winning here, but I'm going to go with Herman here. Mm. The resources, the pedigree, the school, like Texas is again. It's strange to say it's strange to say that they're a sleeping giant because that sounds ridiculous because they should never be asleep. They should always be awake.
They've been bad for a long time.
That'll end soon. Watch what Herman does at Texas. Right, he's going to be sick in Austin. UConn and their athletic director is to evaluate Kevin Ollie in the offseason. Is it time for him to go?
Yeah.
This is a tough one here. Yeah. Here's the big problem for UConn Huskies. They're in no man's land. They're in a conference that doesn't want them or doesn't need them.
Yeah.
The AAC, it's got no juice in terms of regional proximity, and they need to get back to the Big East, and the Big East will have them. So the buzz is gone for the national championship. I mean, they're terrible this year. They were under 500 last year.
16-17. They're under 500 now, 11-12. They're ninth in the AAC.
I think it's more the conference than Ollie, but they got a tough call here. I could go either way with this, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'd probably give them one more year.
I think I would, too. Are you hearing things that they might get into the Big East?
I have been hearing that, yeah. Huh. That the Big East would be amenable to that even without the football. You know, obviously, yeah, it's a basketball conference now. Maybe willing to do something like Notre Dame. Obviously, you play X amount of games at the ACC and split it up. There's a configuration.
But fully, the Big East would want them back. The ACC for the basketball Notre Dame is. That'd be interesting.
They would absolutely want, because they draw the guard in the Big East tournament, no doubt about it.
So if that is likely or it's on the discussion to happen, you got to keep Kevin Ollie.
Yes, then I would agree. If not, then you might have to have a complete reset and maybe, we'll see. Ugh, I want to throw this at the camera, but I don't really have the energy. I don't even know if I can make it there.
You get a changeup? You throw an Ephus pitch?
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it today. Spitzy texted me this morning. How you feeling? Terrible. How am I feeling? It's the worst when you got to do. Like, it's one thing if you could just go into work and hide and grind it. Like, our job, and we're blessed to have
it. You got
to
be on,
and
man.
You know I love it.
You got to be on.
Yeah, when you don't feel well, it's like, holy hell. I'm sitting there. It's like, I'm like, Jen, just make sure. I wasn't asleep, but like at 11:30, I'm like, I got to go lay down for 30 more minutes. Just make sure that I'm up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. So the good thing, thanks for helping me through today a little bit here. Hey,
The thing is, if you actually feel towards better, not fully better, once you get into something, it's
correct.
Easy.
No, correct.
It
correct.
Gets easier.
No, that was the first time on Monday that I felt like I couldn't construct a sentence. Like, I can't be
Oh,
here.
No, I noticed.
I couldn't believe it, man. Like, when I start the show, the first thing I have to say is, our studio. I just heard, the first four or five words. I'm like, all right, I got to check out. Teak, you're going to be getting 40 carries today, buddy. No fumbles either.
I could do that.
High and tight there, brother.
That was good, man. Oh, that was bad. Yeah, you need some. You need a couple days. Give me the relief, guy.
What are we? Oh, I wanted to get to this real quick. Mike tweeted this out. Did you see the video?
Yeah,
National Signing Day.
National Signing Day was today. A couple of cool stories.
Cool stories.
I don't know how to say Warren G's son's name. His last name is Griffin.
Better regulate.
Orlean, something like that. Whatever his name is. Griffin. He committed to USC.
Yeah, I know.
Why those guys stay out west? Snoop does.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
come on, you kidding me? West Coast rap presence. You're going to play football for USC? Agree. Sounds fun.
Warren G looks like a straight OG. He's just standing right next to his son. He pulls out this long needle.
Uh-huh.
There's a balloon, a black balloon over top of him. He just is like, pop! He pops it and the gold confetti comes
down. That was pretty
cool.
That was pretty cool. That was actually really unique. And the one
this one was interesting, though.
Well, some people think this might be staged. Now, the young man's got three hats in front of him. He's got a Tennessee Volunteer hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's on our Twitter account as well if you want to go check it out. It's video. And Alabama hat in the middle, and a Florida Gators on his left, our far right, looking at the screen. His mom is to his right. She's got an Alabama sweatshirt, and she's wearing a Tennessee hat. He goes for the Gator hat.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the only article of clothing that she's not representing. She gets up mid-announcement and walks away.
Yeah.
It looks like it's at his high school, like his coach and some handlers.
Yeah, like she's pissed.
Like, she just leaves the set. There's no way that.
And then walks in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah.
But she came back, right, Samter? So what's the story with her coming back?
So I guess later on when he was discussing it, she came back, gave him a big hug, whispered in his ear. So, I mean, it seemed like, better late than never. I don't think it was staged. It looked like it was legit. But here's the question. Like, she looks really bad for getting up and leaving during her son's thing. But, like, if you're the son, don't you say, hey, mom, like, I might not go with one of those teams that you're wearing. Like, save her the embarrassment of wearing the Vols hat and the Bama shirt.
Well, she shouldn't be wearing anything. How about you just wear clothing like a normal woman would wear? I mean, we're not recruiting you.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that's.
But at the same time, like, this is being televised. It's like, hey, mom, don't wear that. I'm not picking either of those teams. You don't have to, like, announce it to the world. Just, like, tell your mom, like, mom, I'm not picking either of those teams.
Yeah.
Don't wear the clothes for them.
Yeah, mom's
Because you know that what's going to happen is when you pick the Gators, which you're going to do, it's going to make mom look bad. So whether she walked off or not, she's looking bad either way.
I always wonder, like, do these kids actually not know until they sit right there?
No, they know.
I mean,
they
of
have
course,
to know.
Of course.
They know.
I mean, why do they go through this? I don't understand it.
Oh, I would ham this up. Are you kidding me? Oh, I would love to do something like this.
This is why we don't talk
God.
About it. We mention it. Warren G's son is interesting because it's Warren G's son.
I love these things, though. But the stuff is...
But I'm talking about the kids.
When the parents upstage
like
the kid,
kids
but,
themselves.
Yeah.
Right? I can sit here and say Griffin, whatever his first name is. You read the stats. He's a five-star recruit, number three cornerback in the league, 72nd overall player coming out of high school. I don't know what the hell he's going to do in college.
Yeah,
and we might never hear his name again.
Yeah.
So why are we like,
don't take it
so
little. Don't be Mr. Doubter here, please. This guy.
Get off my lawn.
Jeez. Are you 70 years old today? Let the kid have a little fun. I mean, that's the whole spectacle of it, you know? He's earned the right. His mom upstaged him. Thanks, Mom. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.